75. Only Red. 11 years ago. Dalinar left the horse. Horses were too slow. A misty fog blew off the lake, reminding him of that day long ago when he, Gavilar, and Satius had first attacked the rift. The elites who accompanied him were the product of years of planning and training. Primarily archers, they wore no armor and were trained for long-distance running. Horses were magnificent beasts. The Sunmaker famously had used an entire company of cavalry. Over a short distance, their speed and maneuverability had been legendary. Those possibilities intrigued Dalinar. Could men be trained to fire bows from horseback? How devastating would that be? What about a charge of horses bearing men with spears, like the legends spoke of during the Shin invasion? For today, however, he didn't need horses. Men were better suited for long-distance running, not to mention being much better at scrambling over broken hillsides and uneven rocks. This company of elites could outrun any harrying force he'd yet to meet. Though archers, they were proficient with the sword. Their training was unparalleled, and their stamina legendary. Dalinar hadn't trained with them personally, as he didn't have time to practice running 30 miles a day. Fortunately, he had plate to make up the difference. Clad in his armor, he led the charging force over scrub and rock, past reeds that released hair-like inner strands to shiver on the breeze until he drew near. Grass, tree, and weed took fright at his approach. Two fires burned inside him. First, the energy of the plate, lending power to each step. The second fire was the thrill. Satius, a traitor? Impossible. He had supported Gavilar all along. Dalinar trusted him. And yet, I thought myself trustworthy, Dalinar thought, leading the charge down a hillside, 100 men flooding behind him. Yet I almost turned on Gavilar. He would see for himself. He would find out whether this caravan that had brought supplies to the rift actually had a shard-bearer in its ranks or not. But the possibility that he had been betrayed, that Satius could have been working against them all along, drove Dalinar to a kind of focused madness, a clarity only the thrill bestowed. It was the focus of a man, his sword, and the blood he would spill. The thrill seemed to transform within him as he ran, soaking into his tiring muscles, saturating him. It became a power unto itself. So when they crested a hillside some distance south of the rift, he felt somehow more energetic than when he'd left. As his company of elites jogged up, Dalinar pulled to a stop, armored feet grinding on stone. Ahead, down the hill and at the mouth of a canyon, a frantic group was scrambling to arms. The caravan. Its scouts must have spotted the approach of Dalinar's force. They'd been setting up camp, but left their tents, running for the canyon, where they'd be able to avoid being flanked. Dalinar roared, summoning his blade, ignoring the fatigue of his men as he dashed down the hillside. The soldiers wore forest green and white, Satius's colors. Dalinar reached the bottom of the hill and stormed through the now abandoned camp. He swept past the stragglers, slicing out with Oathbringer, dropping them, their eyes burning. Wait. His momentum wouldn't let him stop now. Where was the enemy shardbearer? Something is wrong. Dalinar led his men into the canyon after the soldiers, following the enemy along a wide path up the side. He raised Oathbringer high as he ran. Why would they put on Satius's colors if they're a secret envoy bringing contraband supplies? Dalinar stopped in place, his soldiers swarming around him. Their path had taken them about 50 feet up from the bottom of the canyon, on the south side of a steep incline. He saw no sign of a shard-bearer as the enemy gathered above. And those uniforms. He blinked. That was wrong. He shouted in order to pull back, but the sound of his voice was overwhelmed by a sudden roar. A sound like thunder, accompanied by a dreadful clatter of rock against rock. The ground quivered, and he turned in horror to find a landslide tumbling down the steep side of the ravine to his right, directly above where he had led his men. He had a fraction of a moment to take it in before the rocks pounded him in a terrible crash. Everything spun, then grew black. Still he was pounded, rolled, crushed. An explosion of molten sparks briefly flashed in his eyes, and something hard smacked him on the head. Finally, it ended. He found himself lying in blackness, his head pounding, thick warm blood running down his face and dripping from his chin. He could feel the blood, but not see it. Had he been blinded? His cheek was pressed against a rock. No, he wasn't blind. He'd been buried. And his helm had shattered. He shifted with a groan, and something illuminated the stones around his head. Stormlight seeping from his breastplate. Somehow he'd survived the landslide. He lay face down, prone, buried. He shifted again, and from the corner of his eye saw a rock sink, threatening to crush sideways into his skull. He lay still, his head thundering with pain. He flexed his left hand and found that gauntlet broken, his forearm plate too, but his right-hand armor still worked.
This was a trap.
Sadeus was not a traitor. This had been designed by the Rift and its High Lord to lure Dalinar in, then drop stones to crush him. Cowards. They'd tried something like that in Rathalas long ago, too. He relaxed, groaning softly.
No, can't lie here.
Maybe he could pretend to be dead. That sounded so appealing, he closed his eyes and started to drift. A fire ignited inside him.
You have been betrayed, Dalinar. Listen.
He heard voices, men picking through the wreckage of the rock slide. He could make out their nasal accent. Rifters.
Tanalon sent you here to die.
Dalinar sneered, opening his eyes. Those men wouldn't let him hide in this tomb of stone, feigning death. He carried shards. They would find him to recover their prize. He braced himself, using his plated shoulder to keep the rock from rolling against his exposed head, but did not otherwise move. Eventually, the men above started speaking eagerly. From their words, they'd found his armor's cape sticking out through the stone, the glyphs of the Koch and Linnel stark on the blue background. Stones scraped and the burden upon him lightened. The thrill built to a crescendo. The stone near his head rolled back.
Go!
Dalinar heaved with his plated feet and shifted a boulder with his still-armored hand, opening enough space that he could stand up straight. He ripped free of the tomb and stumbled upright into open air, stones clattering. The rifters cursed and scrambled backward as he leaped out of the hole, boots grinding against stones. Dalinar growled, summoning his blade. His armor was in worse shape than he'd assumed. Sluggish, broken in four separate places. All around him, Tanalon's men's eyes seemed to glow. They gathered and grinned at him. He could see the thrill thick in their expressions. His blade and leaking plate reflected in their dark eyes. Blood streaming down the side of his face, Dalinar grinned back at them. They rushed to attack. Dalinar saw only red. He partially came to himself as he found himself pounding a man's head repeatedly against the stones. Behind him lay a pile of corpses with burned eyes piled high around the hole where Dalinar had stood, fighting against them. He dropped the head of the corpse in his hands and breathed out, feeling... What did he feel?
Numb, suddenly.
Pain was a distant thing. Even anger was nebulous. He looked down at his hands. Why was he using those and not his shard blade? He turned to the side where Oathbringer protruded from a rock where he'd stabbed it. The gemstone on the pommel was cracked. That was right. He couldn't dismiss it. Something about the crack had interfered. He stumbled to his feet, looking around for more foes, but none came to challenge him. His armor? Someone had broken the breastplate while fighting him, and he felt at a stab wound on his chest. He barely remembered that. The sun was low on the horizon, plunging the canyon into shadows. Around him, discarded bits of clothing flapped in the breeze and bodies lay still. Not a sound, not even Kremling scavengers. Drained, he bound the worst of his wounds, then grabbed Oathbringer and set it on his shoulder. Never had a shard blade felt so heavy. He started walking. Along the way, he discarded pieces of shard plate which grew too heavy. He'd lost blood, far too much. He focused on the steps, one after another. Momentum. A fight was all about momentum. He didn't dare take the obvious route in case he encountered more rifters. He crossed through the wilderness, vines writhing beneath his feet and rock buds sprouting after he passed. The thrill returned to urge him on, for this walk was a fight, a battle. Night fell, and he threw off his last piece of shard plate, leaving only the neck brace. They could regrow the rest of it from that if they had to. Keep moving. In that darkness, shadowed figures seemed to accompany him. Armies made of red mist at the corners of his vision, charging forces that fell to dust and then sprouted from shadow again, like surging ocean waves in a constant state of disintegration and rebirth. Not just men, but eyeless horses, animals locked in struggle, stifling the life from one another, shadows of death and conflict to propel him through the night. He hiked for an eternity. Eternity was nothing when time had no meaning. He was actually surprised when he approached the light of the rift from torches held by soldiers on the walls. His navigation by the moons and stars had been successful. He stalked through the darkness toward his own camp on the field. There was another army here, Sadius's actual soldiers. They'd arrived ahead of schedule. Another few hours, and Tanelon's ploy wouldn't have worked. Dalinar dragged Oathbringer behind him. It made a soft scraping sound as it cut a line in the stone. He numbly heard soldiers talking by the bonfire ahead, and one called something out. Dalinar ignored them, each step relentless as he passed into their light. A pair of young soldiers in blue crowed their challenges until cutting off and lowering spears, gaping.
"Stormfather," one of them said, stumbling back. "Kalekan the Almighty himself."
Dalinar continued through camp. Noise stirred at his passing, men crying of visions of the dead and of Voidbringers. He made for his command tent. The eternity it took to get there seemed the same length as the others. How could he cross so many miles in the same time as it took to go the few feet to a simple tent? Dalinar shook his head, seeing red at the sides of his vision. Words broke through the canvas of the tent.
"Impossible! The men are spooked! No, it's simply not possible!"
The flaps burst apart, revealing a man with fine clothing and wavy hair. Sadius gaped, then stumbled to the side, holding the flap for Dalinar, who did not break stride. He walked straight in, Oathbringer slicing a ribbon in the ground. Inside, generals and officers gathered by the grim light of a few sphere lanterns. Evie, comforted by Brightness Calamy, was weeping, though Iole studied the table full of maps. All eyes turned toward Dalinar.
"How?" Teleb asked. "Blackthorn? We sent a team of scouts to inform you as soon as Tanelon turned on us and cast our soldiers off his walls. Our force reported all men lost. An ambush."
Dalinar hefted Oathbringer and slammed it down into the stone ground beside him, then sighed at finally being able to release the burden. He placed his palms on the sides of the battle table, hands crusted in blood. His arms were covered in it too.
"You sent the same scouts," he whispered, "who first spied on the caravan and reported seeing a shard-bearer leading it?"
"Yes,"
Teleb said.
"Traitors," Dalinar said. "They're working with Tanelon."
He couldn't have known that Dalinar would parley with him. Instead, the man had somehow bribed away members of the army and had intended to use their reports to coax Dalinar into a hurried ride to the south. Into a trap. It had all been set in motion before Dalinar had spoken to Tanelon, planned well in advance. Teleb barked out orders for the scouts to be imprisoned. Dalinar leaned down over the battle maps on the table.
"This is a map for a siege," he whispered.
Teleb looked to Sadius. "We figured that the king would want time to come down himself. To, avenge you, Bright Lord."
too slow, Dalinar said, his voice ragged.
High Prince Sadius proposed another option, Teleb said. But the king...
Dalinar looked to Sadius.
They used my name to betray you, Sadius said, then spat to the side. We will suffer rebellions like this time and time again, unless they fear us, Dalinar.
Dalinar nodded slowly.
They must bleed, he whispered. I want them to suffer for this. Men, women, children. They must know the punishment for broken oaths. Immediately.
Dalinar?
Ebby stood up.
Husband?
She stepped forward toward the table. Then he turned toward her, and she stopped. Her unusual pale Westerner skin grew even more starkly white. She stepped backward, pulling her hands toward her chest and gaped at him, horrified. Fear spren growing up from the ground around her. Dalinar glanced toward a sphere lantern which had a polished metal surface. The man who looked back seemed more Voidbringer than man. Face crusted over with blackened blood, hair matted with it, blue eyes wide, jaw clenched. He was sliced with what seemed to be 100 wounds, his padded uniform in tatters.
You shouldn't do this, Evie said. Rest. Sleep, Dalinar. Think about this. Give it a few days.
So tired.
The entire kingdom thinks us weak, Dalinar, Sadius whispered. We took too long to put this rebellion down. You have never listened to me before, but listen now. You want to prevent this sort of thing from happening again? You must punish them. Everyone.
Punish them,
Dalinar said, the thrill rising again. Pain, anger, humiliation. He pressed his hands against the map table to steady himself.
The soul caster that my brother sent. She can make two things.
Grain and oil, Teleb said.
Good. Set her to work.
More food supplies?
No. Oil. As much as we have gemstones for. Oh, and someone take my wife to her tent so she may recover from her unwarranted grief. Everyone else, gather around. In the morning we make Rathalos an example. I promised Tanelon that his widows would weep for what I did here, but that is too merciful for what they've done to me. I intend to so thoroughly ruin this place for 10 generations nobody will dare build here for fear of the spirits who will haunt it. We will make a pyre of this city, and there shall be no weeping for its passing, for none will remain to weep.